You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. You like fantasy sports? Well, we've got some of the top fantasy sports experts joining us on the program today. Jake Seeley, he's all in. We're talking fantasy football. It's fantasy football bust week here at the Fantasy Sports Network. Ricky Sanders returns to the rotation, one of the best in the business. Ricky's great at his DFS baseball. Can't wait to start talking football with Ricky as well. I believe it's Roto Curve. He's like a big shot. He's like the president or something like that. Either way, he's damn good. Ricky Sanders joins us. A little DFS baseball. We'll focus in on the matchups, but I always find the DFS breakdowns help the gamblers as well. We're going to be talking about that at the International Football Betting Conference, actually, how to bridge fantasy sports and gaming. And I remember a couple of years ago, Cardano had me on the radio, and he asked me, has gambling or fantasy, you know, what have I learned more from? What can help each other more? And by far, fantasy sports can help your gambling more than your gambling can help your fantasy sports. You know, the stats and the analytics and everything else in between, and specifically the prop betting, there's just so much there right now that you can take advantage of. So it's a lot of stuff. We're going to share all this stuff with you as the season rapidly approaches. We're a little more than 24 hours away from the start of the National Football League preseason. It's the Hall of Fame game. And it doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of starters there. But you like football, we're talking football. We're talking college football today on the program. Maybe a little NFL football with Mark Lawrence. But we're going to focus in on the Mountain West Conference. We're going in alphabetical order. Sometimes it's more glamorous than others. But we got some real cool conferences coming up. And the Mountain West actually isn't bad. It's going to be a lot of attention on the Mountain West this year due to the Wyoming Cowboy quarterback Josh Allen. A lot of people think that he could be maybe the second pick of the draft. Some people are saying maybe, just maybe, you know, he'll get taken ahead of Sam Darnold even. Although I don't see that happening yet. There's still a season to play, guys. You know, I've seen a lot of things change over the years, man. There's a lot of guys, you know, that come in. Look at Christian Hackenberg. Classic example. Classic freaking example. Sam Darnold was Christian Hackenberg, all right? Christian Hackenberg was the clear-cut, you know what? This guy's going to be a freaking monster in the NFL. He could have went to the NFL. He didn't. He ended up sucking at Penn State, and now he sucks still with the Jets. You know, stuff changes, man, in a freaking hurry, real quick. I like what Sam Darnold said. He goes, any team that's tanking for me is crazy. I like the kid's humbleness with that. But nevertheless, we're talking Pac-12 football next week. Today we're talking Mountain West. But we got Pac-12, we've got SEC coming up, we've got all kinds of cool stuff coming up. All right, so the football season's rapidly freaking approaching right now, as we know. And I've told you a million times over the last couple of weeks, you need to wait, all right? You can't pull the trigger on an NFL season win total if you're betting the over. If you're betting the under, you can do it and just sort of hope that everybody gets suspended and everybody gets hurt. But I see people holding fantasy football drafts right now, and unless it's for charity and it doesn't really count or something, then how the hell can you play in a high-stakes fantasy football league and hold your draft right now? What if you took Andrew Luck? What if you took Andrew Luck? Now, listen, Jason Lacanfor is reporting that Andrew Luck could be out for 1 to 6 weeks, and Jason Lacanfor has never been wrong ever before. So, you know, to be honest with you, if Lacanfora is saying that Luck could be out for 6 weeks, it means Luck is going to be like the NFL player of the week in week one. He's going to throw like 6 touchdown passes against the Rams. But all kidding aside, Andrew Luck's not in good shape right now, all right? The shoulder's not good. We knew that he couldn't even throw the freaking football, but they were like, no, don't worry about it. He's going to be fine for the season. He's not going to be fine for the season. Not looking good right now. And my boy, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, was very pissed off because he thinks the Colts are going to be terrible this year. And he's kicking himself for not pulling the trigger on the under. Now, I don't think too many people were dumb enough to bet on the Baltimore Ravens to go over 9.5 wins. I like the under right there, all right? I just don't see how this team is going to win 10 football games. But Joe Flacco could be out for a prolonged period of time. They're saying, oh, he might be back for week 1. They're hoping he's going to be back. Another situation where if you bet the under, then you're probably in a good situation right there. But as I told you, there's going to be freaking carnage, man. Kaepernick's going to end up back in the league because there's going to be a million quarterbacks that are going to get hurt before it's all said and done. That's one of the reasons why Bruce Arians not even putting Carson Palmer in uniform for the Hall of Fame game, which leads us to the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be playing their starters either very much in this football game, if at all. But what's more interesting about the Cowboys and a Cowboy football team that I told you, I'm not seeing a big drop-off, all right? I think the Dallas Cowboys are still going to be a damn good football team, but I don't like what's going on so far, and their camp has just opened, all right? Their camp is just open. You've got this Elliott stuff lingering over them. You got the Lucky Whitehead situation. And, of course, nobody cares about Lucky Whitehead. Nobody cares about anything anymore, really. But I don't care that Lucky Whitehead got a job. He got freaking screwed, all right? But this is comical to me. Almost as comical as Roger Goodell saying the other day that NFL football players live longer and are more healthy than people that don't play NFL football. But this is comical to me that the Dallas Cowboys have already been fined by the NFL because they have three players on the suspended list at one time already. They haven't played a damn game yet. They haven't played a damn game yet, all right? And they got three guys suspended. Now, word is, we all know Elliott's probably going to get suspended. The reason they haven't done it yet is because Jerry Jones is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. So Jones is getting inducted to the Hall of Fame. They don't want to overshadow it with any brand name, big time players getting suspended. But word is the Cowboys could have six guys on the suspended list at one time. It would be the first time ever that a team got fined $500,000 from the National Football League for having six freaking players suspended. I guess it's the max, $500,000. But you know what? As we all know, the Cowboys don't put up with any of this stuff. They have a zero tolerance policy. Ask Lucky Whitehead. But I'm going to repeat myself one more time because I know people are slow. All right? You've got to wait before you pull the trigger if you like a team to the over. And as much as I like the Dallas Cowboys, I got to wait and see if they have any freaking players left by the time they open up the season on that Sunday night against the New York Giants. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got a great show lined up for you, man. We're talking some fantasy football, fantasy baseball. We're talking Mountain West Conference football. Hall of Fame game kicks off tomorrow. On tomorrow's show, we'll have a full breakdown for you for the Hall of Fame game. It's normally on Sunday, but it kickstarted on Thursday this year. We're off to Costa Rica. We've got shows for you because we're not going to leave you high and dry. We've got shows for you. We've been recording around the clock. We're going to be breaking down the NASCAR race with Merrill on Friday and Joe Lisi, Heisman talk. So we've got your back covered, but I'm going to be in Costa Rica at the first ever International Football Betting Conference, as is the man that joins us right now, Mark Lawrence. Except it's a little closer for Mark, actually. What's the flight from Miami for you, Mark? It's like 2 hours, 2.5 hours?
The flight from Miami to Costa Rica should be about 2.5 hours. It's going to take me 9 hours to get there because of the itinerary that they put together. So I think I had a better chance getting on a boat and rowing over there.
You know, I've seen some bad itineraries in my days. I've been in the media, all right? So I've seen the listen where, you know, we're saving money type of thing. But I saw my itinerary. I didn't really look at it, to be honest with you. So I looked going there. It was like 7:15 in the morning. Ugh. And now there's a new law because they want to check your laptop and all this type of stuff. So I'm like, God, that's just great. I got to get there at 5:15. But I never looked coming back. Then I saw they had me sitting in Miami for 10 hours. And I can't even leave the airport because when you're traveling, connecting flights like that, you can't leave the terminal. Like, you're not in the airport. You're locked in the, you know, in Terminal B or whatever it is. I told the guys, I said, there's no way in hell I can sit in an airport for 10 hours. Like 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, four, maybe. Maybe. 10, not happening. So, yeah, they adjusted that. But, yeah, it's quite a haul, actually, for a short trip. It's actually upsetting me as well, Mark.
Well, it'll be there. We'll be there and have done it, and it'll be over before we know it, so we'll just enjoy it while we're there.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have a good time when we're there. But, yeah, it's a freaking headache getting there. I got to record, like, 18 shows today and yesterday as well. So let's jump in right now, talk some Mountain West football. I was telling people, we go in alphabetical order. So we got the Pac-12 next week. We got the SEC coming up, and then the Sun Belt, and I guess we'll be done. But the Mountain West had its ups and downs over the years, but they've been pretty consistent. 10 years in a row, as you write in the playbook, that they've gone, they've had five or more bowl teams go to bowls. That's a very impressive number. You know, they sort of peaked a few years ago, if you remember, Mark, when Boise State and TCU were getting good. And the Mountain West was a real fun conference. And you had BYU in there playing. You know, the great rivalries with UNLV and BYU in basketball, etc. But I look at the Mountain West this year, and it's a pretty solid conference. And you know it's going to get a lot of high profile, more than it has in recent years, due to the quarterback up there in Laramie with the Wyoming Cowboys.
Yeah, you're talking about Josh Allen, a quarterback at Wyoming, who some people think might even be the first pick of this year's draft. He'll be number one, two, or three, and they'll probably go in that order. But he's that talented, Josh Allen at Wyoming. There's a lot of good reasons to be looking at the Cowboys this football season.
Yeah, that's right. 6 foot five, 233-pounder, threw for 3,203 yards last year, 28 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. What's impressive, he's a big dude, so he's able to run you over as well. They rushed for over 500 yards and seven touchdowns. They lost their running back and their top three wide receivers, though. He's kind of put in a difficult spot coming back here.
He is, but he's very, very talented, Gabe, and he's the reason that they're the talk in the conference this year. I think the biggest thing about Wyoming this year is Craig Bohl, their head coach, who I don't think will be there long. I think he's on to a big program real soon. He hired Scotty Hazleton, who was his defensive coordinator in his days at North Dakota State. They won two championships at North Dakota State together with Carson Wentz as their quarterback. So Josh Allen is his Carson Wentz for this football season here. I think the Cowboys can make a lot of noise.
So what do you think? Listen, their win total is 8, minus 105 to the over, minus 115 to the under. They open up against the Iowa Hawkeyes. So they're opening up at Iowa. That's going to be a tough game, but maybe sort of winnable, but I don't think so. And I'll tell you what, week three, man, Laramie, this is the biggest game in recent memory there, Mark. You're going to have the Oregon Ducks going in there on a Saturday night up there to Wyoming. That's going to be off the hook.
That'll be a terrific football game. A lot of scoring in that football game. I don't think they can put an over-under up high enough right now before that football game begins. But should Wyoming be able to take the Ducks down in that contest here, they'll put themselves on a pedestal and they'll end up being the team to beat here. 8's a pretty sharp number, but if I had to hedge, I'd probably hedge over because I'm a big Josh Allen fan.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking at this at 8. I think they get to the 8, so you get a push. Maybe they can get to the 9. If they can steal that Duck game somehow, which we've seen, the Ducks are vulnerable as of late. If they can steal that, they can get there. I'm not in a hurry to bet it over, but I'm not saying under either. Like you said, I think it's a really sharp number. Now, the reason I started off with Wyoming only is because we're on the Fantasy Sports Network. So next year at this time, we're going to be talking about Josh Allen and how he's going to look, you know, in the San Francisco 49ers scheme or what have you.
And Cleveland guys, Browns.
Yeah, or the Cleveland Browns. I think it's time to get I think it's time to get a picture of the guy, guys. Hey, we had the anonymous college stat sheet up for him. Guy's going to be the second pick in the draft, probably. All right, but let's talk about the new power, man. It's not Boise State anymore. The new beast, the new, let's call them the monsters of the mountain, so to speak, the San Diego State Aztecs, Mark.
Yeah, quite a football job that Rocky Long has done with this program here, Gabe. They've won 16 of the last 18 conference games the last 2 years. And it's no coincidence that they've gone bowling every year that he's been there at San Diego State. They are indeed the team to beat here. I'm just a little bit concerned about this team and all the losses they incurred in the offseason.
Yeah, they have. They lost a lot of guys. They won 11 games. They keep putting these double-digit wins up. So you only need to get to 10 here. It's amazing, as you state. 16-2 in conference play the last 2 years. Average margin of victory, 24 points per game. And you know, if you guys are unaware of this as well, you know, the Mountain West and West Coast, you know, in general, you know, they like to air it out, right? They're not known for like playing smash mouth football in the Mountain West or smash mouth football in the Pac-12 per se. But San Diego State, they're the exception, Mark, and it's working for them. They just line it up. They play good defense, and they just run the ball down your freaking throat, man. And no one can stop it because no one plays that style, and they're the only ones that do it.
Yeah, they're the exception to the rule in the conference here because of that offensive style. My concern here is that offensive line, nearly entire line is gone this year. Plus, Donnell Pumphrey, the best running back, all-time college football leading rusher, is gone as well. The biggest concern for me, though, is over 50% of their starts last year were made by seniors. So they're going to have to be plugged in with underclassmen this year. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they take a step backwards this year. They could still win their division, but I still think they might go a step backwards one game.
Yeah, keep your eye on Rashad Penny, a new running back. This kid, they were unique. Pumphrey had over 2K last year, but this kid got over 1,000 yards as well. 7.5 yards a clip. He's not going to have that big, powerful offensive line yet. Rocky has done a good job of recruiting as of late. We know the defense is going to be good. 9.5 is high. Schedule, they go to Arizona State. They host Stanford. You think they can catch ASU?
I think they catch ASU. I think so. That's one ascending program. I think it's a descending program here. And the key to this football program will be, as it always has been, how they close out the season. They're monsters down the stretch. The second half of the season, it's all San Diego State, which means they're churning up, chewing up, and spitting out conference opponents. And if it continues, they could get that number.
All right, they're not going to beat the Stanford Cardinal, but I think they could potentially beat Arizona State. Maybe not. It's going to be a close game. That's going to be a tough one. But after that, they host Boise State. They're at Air Force. That's their toughest conference road game, and the Falcons are kind of down a little bit this year as well. I think they have a shot of getting to 10, Mark, but maybe 9, right? And it's a tough number at 9.5.
It is, and look at their weakest game on the schedule because that's usually their Achilles heel. South Alabama has stunned this football team.
Two years in a row, right?
Exactly. So who's the weak sister this year that might pull the rug out on this team? They got to make sure that they win the winnable games and go out and split the tough football game.
It's funny. San Diego State lost a lot of money and missed out on probably a big-time bowl game last year.
Yes,
because
they
lost to the Jaguars of South Alabama. All right, let's talk about a team that used to be the powers in this conference, Boise State. Win total is 8.5. So now we're looking at a fairer number here, but it is -160 to the over. These numbers are the numbers over at the South Point in Las Vegas. It was surprising. They got their ass handed to them by a Baylor team that was, a shell of themselves. But as you wrote the playbook stat of the week here, last four times the Broncos lost a bowl game, they're a combined 51-3 the following season.
That's a pretty strong, impressive number, to say the least. And all this team does is win games, Gabe. I think they've averaged 9.5 wins the last 11 years. But look at their schedule here. 6 of their first 7 games are against bowl teams this year. The offense went backwards. The defense went backwards last year. That's the key. If they can take care of business the first half of the football season, they could be the Boise State of old and still pile onto that 51-3 number.
One thing we noticed, and you mentioned it with Harsin when he was the OC and now the head coach, the Broncos, Boise State, they're 61-2. They're 61-2 straight up against losing teams, sub-500 teams. So they take care of business against teams they have to beat. They've struggled in bigger games. You know, last year you watched Boise State, they'd move the football and then they'd settle for a field goal. Or, Rippon would go move the ball all the way down to the 28-yard line and get sacked at the 40 and they take themselves out of field goal range. They never have good field goal kickers up there for some reason. Always spotty right there. And what was really weird, I almost think it was an anomaly, and they still won 10 games. I like the over 8.5 this year because of this. It's got to be an anomaly, Mark, that they had their lowest turnover rate differential in program history. It's unbelievable. They only recovered 2 fumbles all year.
You know,
some teams get 2 fumbles in a game. All year, they only recovered 2 fumbles, and they only had 7 interceptions all year.
Some teams get 2 fumbles in a quarter, Gabe.
It's unbelievable. Year. And, Mark, think about it. Playing in the Mountain West, 7 interceptions against teams that throw the ball 60 times a game.
That will reverse itself. You can best rest assured about that. But you keep that 61-2 number in mind and let them win four or five of their first seven games, take care of all the pansies, this could well be a 10-win football team this year.
I think we get there. I like the over 8.5 here. Now, here's another over that I like. Colorado State. There's a lot to like about this football team. His total is 7.5, minus 150 to the over, plus 120 to the under. But Nick Stevens is back at quarterback. You write about this triple-headed monster that they have in the backfield. They got three guys that can really run the ball down your throat. They got an experienced quarterback right now. They ranked fourth in the nation in red zone offense last year. So when they get there, they take care of business. 9 returning starters on defense. A lot to like about this Ram team.
There sure is. Those three-headed running backs ran for nearly 2,200 yards last year. Their back, Mike Bobo, their head coach, he's one of only 2 Group of 5 head coaches that was hired in 2015 that's had winning records each of his first 2 years. That's a pretty good accomplishment. You got to respect all that. You got to respect this football team. They could be a real danger powerhouse type team inside this conference.
All right. I look at this. I look at this schedule though, and I like the over 7.5 here. I look at the schedule, and I've been doing team-by-team NFL previews. I swear, the Colorado State Rams schedule is tougher than the L.A. Rams schedule is. look at this. All right, let's open up against the Ducks. All right, after that, let's play the Colorado Buffaloes. All right, we get a pass against Abilene Christian. All right, yeah, why don't we go to Tuscaloosa, guys, in week 4? That'll be fun. Let's go to Alabama. You know, then, all right, we'll reward you. We'll go to Hawaii. And, you know, Hawaii's a sneaky team this year. Yeah, you got to go up there and take Sheriff Lobo and Bob Davey on up there in Albuquerque. This is a freaking tough schedule.
It's a murderous schedule, Gabe. And you know something? If they take care of what they do in the first month of the season, when you go up against all the big boys, all that does is toughen them up for the conference. And I wouldn't be surprised if this team might start not running the table in the conference once the conference play begins.
Yeah, and they open up. And I said Oregon. It's actually Oregon State. Excuse me. It's Oregon State in that first game. They're on that first Saturday on August 26th, actually. So if they can get that, you know, they're getting the Beavers, and then they're getting the Buffaloes. You know, they're not beating the Buffaloes, I don't think. I mean, the Buffaloes will probably beat them, but they could beat the Beavers. I think they're 3-point favorites right now.
Well, Beavers, Buffalo, and Bama, those three football teams here, they've got to win one of those, and if they can win two, they could be on their way.
All right. We got to talk about a team that you and I often talk about. We have a lot of friends around the program, and we follow them closely. That's the UNLV Running Rebels. They got a new logo this year. People didn't like it at all. I should have told the boys I should get it up. I don't know if you saw that, but they got rid of the old, like, rebel, redneck-looking dude. And they've got, like, a new Vegas sort of weird modern thing going on. Everybody hated it. I didn't mind it. And I tell you, the old logo wasn't working for them, all right?
Like, the old team wasn't working for them.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. And it's like, we wore red one of those alternative nights. People are like, I've never seen the Bills in red. I'm like, dude, we're pink, all right? I don't care. Like, wearing blue hasn't worked for us for years, okay? Like, if you're UNLV, the last thing you need to worry about is your damn logo on your helmet right now. But I'll tell you what. We know all about Coach Sanchez coming over from Bishop Gorman. It's tough to recruit there. And they thought, all right, the Bishop Gorman guys, it'll be a nice pipeline to UNLV, but those kids aren't that stupid. So, you know, they're going to USC. They're going to Arizona. They're leaving. They're leaving Las Vegas. But he gets his first time, big time recruit here, and Armani Rogers. I don't know how he pulled this off, but it's the son of Sam Rogers, the longtime linebacker. And this kid was good enough. He was going to Cal. 6'5", 225-pounder, a high school star in Los Angeles, going to play for the UNLV Running Rebels. This is his biggest get yet.
It's a really great signing here for UNLV, and I like their chances this year to become bowl eligible. They were bit by the injury bug last year, yet they improved their win-loss record, their point production, and their overall defense last year, despite being bit by the injuries. They've got 9 starters back on defense, and remember, they've improved their defense both of their first 2 years under Sanchez. He's got this program headed in the right direction.
Yeah, you're right. In the old days when I used to live in Vegas, you know, they always had some decent skill position players, but defensively was always their issue. They were undersized. Simple as that. You know, they look like high school guys. They just didn't have the beef. I've noticed Sanchez is doing a better job of getting better athletes, bigger guys. He talked about getting bigger guys on the field. But you look at this offense, and this offense can put points up on the board. They've got, and if Rodgers, they got a deep stable of quarterbacks. Rodgers, the nice kid coming in here. But living in Vegas, I swear to God, is it just me? We were joking about Tanner Mangum over at BYU being there forever. Devontae Boyd, man, he's been on the Rebels as long as Boyd Gaming's been in the desert. I swear, Devontae Boyd, this kid, he's been there forever. Like, he's gotten every ounce out of his college career, man.
He's the JT Barrett, I guess, of that football program. It seems like he's been there forever as well. I mentioned 9 starters back on defense. It's 9 on offense, as you mentioned here. So the offense should be pretty well situated here. They have to continue to keep improving that defense.
The schedule's manageable. They open up versus Howard. They're at Idaho, both winnable games. They get pasted in Columbus against Ohio State. But they don't play Boise. They don't play Wyoming. They don't play Colorado State this year. I think there's a shot they get to 6 and go bowling, like you said.
I think that's a magic number for this team. 6 wins, bowl eligible, job done by Tony Sanchez. And even if he elevates and continues to elevate this program to higher echelons, I still think he's going to remain loyal to UNLV, where he starts with Bishop Gorman. If he takes a big-time contract elsewhere, I'd be a little bit surprised this early young stage of his career.
No, I think he wants to do something and get something accomplished here. And plus, they got the Raiders coming to town. That'll actually help them. They'll be able to play in that stadium. And, they're going to get buried by the Raiders, but at the same point in time, they're playing on the top of a toxic garbage dump in the middle of the mountains near the Air Force base. So let's be real. It'll be a better situation for them on the Strip. Always a pleasure, Mark. See you tomorrow in Costa Rica.
I'll see you in Costa Rica. Have a safe flight, Gabe. Be good.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. All right, we got Jake Seeley coming up next. Let's talk some fantasy football.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Fantasy football fever is in the air, and that's why we encourage you to go over to rotoexperts.com for the exclusive Edge package. We've been telling you about this, guys. If you want to win your fantasy league, it's not going to cost you a lot of money to do it. You're going to be smarter than everybody that you're playing against. That's why you're watching this network, right? To get the advantage. So get the exclusive Edge package. And if you order this Friday, actually, it's Fantasy Friday, FTNSY Friday, you get the Fantasy Sports Network for free for a year. It's $30 value right there. So you get all the programming. You get the whole thing. You're getting all the expert advice and all the entertainment of the shows all in one package. And you're getting the free entertainment package if you order this Friday. I encourage you to do it if you want to win. You're going to have smart guys like Jake Seeley, the accuracy expert, breaking it down for you. Let Jake do the work for you. There's not enough time in the day, man, to break everything down. What's going on, Jake?
Yeah, not too much. Yeah, they get my projections, auction values, all those rankings. They can get you for the entertainment. They can get me for all the numbers.
Yeah, that's it. There's something for everybody. There's something for everybody. And like I said, it's only 24 hours in the day. I'm already spread pretty thin, so I'm glad that you guys are putting all this work in. I'm going to be using you guys as my cheat sheet all year long.
Hey, there's no problem with that. That's why we put in the 80-hour work weeks, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's brutal. I know. Tell me about it. I know. I'm fired up. I'm fired up for some league football. I'm fired up for some DFS football. Do you do preseason DFS at all?
A little bit. I don't usually put too much into it, and I only do tournaments because there's not really that much point in playing cash.
Yeah, you're just recreational for fun, right? You can ride a wave, man. Last year I rode that Dak Prescott wave, actually, and very, very successful and profitable as well. One preseason game tomorrow, but it really starts next week, actually. So let's talk some fantasy football right now. It's bust week here at the network. And I don't like the Miami Dolphins. I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. So it kind of bothers me. I'm going to dedicate a freaking segment right now to the Miami Dolphins. And it wasn't done deliberately, but it's sort of, one player led into another player. Because, we're talking about bust, and I see a lot of Dolphin players' names on the bust and the sleeper list this year somehow. So let's start off with the running back, Jay Ajayi. ADP 8. A lot of people were saying, you know what, he's going to be a bust even before the concussion situation had occurred last week. His critics will tell you that, you know what, he got half of his numbers basically in like three football games. He's not very consistent. What I like about him, though, is the fact that he's always a threat to break a big one, Jake. He's capable of popping a big one. And what I like about this, he caught 27 balls only last year, but they said he spent 2 hours a day in the offseason only catching footballs out of the backfield with his buddies. And, like, so they said his hands are unbelievable. He's catching balls behind his head. You know, he's really shown some good hands. Gase loves it. And Gase said, he's going to be more involved this year because he's shown us he can really catch the ball. Where do you sit on the Ajayi debate?
Yeah, I have him a little bit lower. You know, I'm going to take him at the back end of the top 10 for running backs, but that's only because you mentioned a little bit of the concern. It was the three big games, two against the Buffalo Bills, and not much else. Across the league, really, he didn't do anything, including a poor yards per carry. So you have all the arguments against him, and I liken him to Doug Martin. We remember Doug Martin at the very beginning of his career. He had three giant games. But here's the good thing is Doug Martin actually had a productive season since then when he was healthy for an entire year and putting up those numbers. Jay Ajayi is certainly talented enough to do the same thing. The big key is the health of the offensive line, especially Pouncey. If he's out there and that offensive line stays together, as you mentioned, he can break off a big one at any time. If he is truly improving in the passing game, because that's the one area he was lacking when he came out of college, I think that you're looking at somebody that just that alone, being on the field for third down and in passing options, is going to have near 20 touches per game. 20 touches per game, even if he's only Latavius Murray, we saw what the volume did for Latavius Murray. The volume alone is going to put him inside the top 12. And if he's better than Latavius Murray, which he is, he's going to be inside the top 10 for running back. So I can see the concern for a bust, but I'm okay with taking him as like the 7th, 8th, 9th running back off the board.
Yeah, you know, I prefer to have Devontae Freeman personally. There's a few guys I'd rather have, but at the same point in time, you know, that's the thing, though. You know, if you're playing on, you know, you're playing weak head-to-head matchups, it kind of sucks if he sucks for 3-4 weeks. You don't care that he got the 200 yards. You know what I mean? It doesn't help you.
You know, taking Ajayi and then another high-risk, high-reward running back with him. If you take an Ajayi, you make sure you pair him with somebody who's consistent at the position every single week. It's smart ownership.
Yeah, it's a very, very good point right there. But I really do think he's going to catch more balls out of the backfield this year. 27, I think you can get that up to 40-plus, actually, this year. And one thing, though, Gase is a good coach, and I had high hopes on Gase. You remember last year, Jake, when Gase got there, and in the preseason, they tried to do it. They were like, we're going to go fast, 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 fast. Except they realized we're just going nowhere fast, going fast. We got to slow it down a little bit. But I had high hopes, and I know Gase wants to get cute, and he wants to get fancy with this offense. But there's only so cute and fancy he can get. And that's the thing. You know, is he going to use Ajayi a lot? Is he going to get him involved a lot? Which leads me into Jarvis Landry. And I know Pat Mayo was stating that he thinks Landry is going to fade this year. One thing I will note, too, it's a contract year for Landry. So he's going to want to put numbers up. But there's always that tendency, you know, to sort of phase guys out if they sort of know behind the scenes they're not re-signing him. You know they want to get Parker involved, but Landry's never caught less than 84 balls in his career, so it's hard to say that the guy's going to be a big bust. Where do you stand on Landry?
I think he is a little bit of a bust just because of where he's going to draft, because people still want to draft him with the upside for more, not realizing that. And what you just mentioned in the balls that he's catching every single year is the fact that the consistency, he's also consistently inefficient in the red zone, not catching touchdowns, because guess what? He doesn't catch very many in the end zone. He usually gets tackled at the 10 or at the 5 because just that's not his game. So in a PPR, he's great as a wide receiver too, but we need to stop with pushing him into that top 15, stop thinking he's a good play in standard non-PPR scoring leagues. They just need to chill out on Landry, especially if Parker finally steps up, because Stills impressed at times last year. Now you have three wide receivers. If you have Parker stepping up and Stills continues some of his success from last year, do we all of a sudden think Ryan Tannehill's throwing for 4,500 yards and 35 touchdowns? I don't think that's going to happen.
That's the thing. That's why these players individually, you can make an argument for them, but then you realize, too, it's like, it's not Matt Ryan. It's not like everybody's going to be killing it, right? You're like, and Gase is strange. You don't know what he's going to go, what he's thinking. And Tannehill is erratic, not to mention Tannehill likes to throw to the tight end. They bring Julius Thomas in as well.
Yeah, but to be fair, though, how many games is Julius Thomas? Over, under, touchdowns or games for Julius Thomas?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, yeah. Cowboys will have more suspensions than he'll have touchdowns. How about
there you
that?
Go. I'll go with that one.
Yeah, I see the Cowboys. Season hasn't even started yet, Jake. They've been fined by the NFL because they have three players on a suspended list.
Yeah, I like
how is this possible? You haven't guys played a game yet, and they're saying by next week they might have six, which they would get fined $500,000. Six active guys could be suspended next week on the pokes.
It doesn't surprise me at all. Somebody was joking about a picture. They did one of those, you know, interviewing the Cowboys. It was a picture in front of a trash can. I said, you used the wrong picture. It shouldn't be inside a jail cell.
Yeah, outside Dallas County. Outside Dallas County. If you're a lawyer, just set up shop right outside, right in the parking lot.
Right next door.
Devontae Parker. All right, I think I might have been, this was frustrating for me because last year I jumped on board for a wide receiver three. I was like, you know what? Parker's going to surprise people. He's damn good. He's got the speed. And I still buy all of this, but he's kind of young, inconsistent, concentration problems. They like what they see this year. And I don't have to tell you, Jake, year three is usually a breakout year for wide receivers in the National Football League. ADP 42 right now. They're saying all the right things. Gase says he likes what he sees from Parker in camp so far.
Yeah, they're saying all the right things, and everybody looks great right now. I mean, who looks bad in camp? Everybody's the best shape ever. Hashtag BSE, and everybody's catching everything and looking terrific. The problem I have with Parker, I mean, dude, he's kind of like that hot girl that you've been trying to date for a really long time, and then she breaks up with her boyfriend, and then you think that you might have a chance, and you go hang out, and then she leaves you hanging, and then you go back, and you're like, oh, maybe now we can hang it. And that's, she just keeps teasing you, and nothing ever, stringing you along. That's what Devontae Parker's done so far. Granted, he was at the near the top of my board of the draft class of wide receivers, but at the same time, I need to see a little bit more. And I go back to what I mentioned about Kenny Stills. He was outplayed by Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills, everybody, who, taking nothing away from him, but he's basically a deep threat, and that's really his game. He was outplayed by Kenny Stills last year. I'm not saying he's not more talented, because he is, but he needs to step up. The ADP of 42 is okay. It's fair. I do only want him. I don't want him as my wide receiver three because I don't want to put him in my starting lineup because of the
exactly.
risk. Exactly. But as a four, I'd rather have him as a five because then you're just all the risk is out the window. But at four, I'm okay with it. I just wouldn't be surprised if we're disappointed with him again if we only get four or five good games out of him.
That's the thing, four touchdowns. You know, the targets, there were 90 targets, but he only caught 56 of them.
And then you said it, a lot of that was on him.
Yeah, exactly. Sloppy routes, lack of concentration. He's got to earn it. Like you said, Stills isn't great, but he's a pro. You know what I mean? Right. He's a pro, so he's going to do his thing. All right, so we only got a couple minutes here. Sammy Watkins, ADP, 18. Sammy, my arch nemesis. I'm a Bills fan. This guy's cost me literally like tens of thousands of dollars, so it's kind of a soft spot for me. And, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, got to take him this year, got to take him this year.
I'm not. The problem with Sammy Watkins is, you say everybody's saying it, it's the foot surgery this time is supposed to be the one that finally fixes everything. Sammy Watkins, for me, I understand the upside. I understand that if he ever plays 16 games, he has the talent to be a wide receiver one. But to take him there, to take him as a high-end wide receiver too, it's what I keep saying. I'm printing shirts out for this. Stop buying all the risk. At some point, if you're drafting him as a top 15-ish wide receiver, even if he plays 16 games, how much above that is he going to finish? And that's the biggest thing. People want to, well, he could be a 15th best receiver if he plays 16 games. Yeah, but now you've paid for exactly what you drafted. There's no return value here. So if you're going to give me Sammy Watkins as my wide receiver two, and I already have a running back on my team, which means I'm getting probably in the fourth round if I have two especially, no problem. I'll do that all the time. But you're going to tell me to spend a top three-round pick on him early fourth? I just can't buy into it. It's just, how many times do you have to be burned by this guy before people wake up?
That's why they call him the accuracy expert. He also thinks that Tyreek Hill could be a bust, as did Matt Modica and I discussed yesterday, and Lamar Miller as well. Great stuff, Jake. You can hear Jake on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as well. Thanks for the time, Jake.
Always, Gabe.
There's Jake Seeley with us. Enjoy talking fantasy football. Let's talk some DFS baseball for those of you that want some action tonight.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's bring in the Vice President of Operations over at rotocurve.com, one of the best in the business, one of my favorite guests. It's been too long. Look forward to talking some football with Ricky when the season starts. But let's talk some DFS baseball for those of you that are looking for some action this evening. And I'll tell you what, Ricky's looking to roll the dice this evening. What's going on, Ricky?
Yeah, no eating.
Yeah, we've lost the audio's cut out here with Ricky Sanders. High roller, rolling Ricky. We'll see if we can get the audio back here with Ricky Sanders. So yeah, we got interesting. Now I want to get to his lineup, but let's adjust the audio back. We'll get back. You know what's crazy? We were talking during the break and everything was fine, and as soon as he starts talking, it cuts out. Not a good sign for his picks. Not a good sign.
That was strange.
We got Ricky back. There we go, Ricky. Works during a commercial break. We start, we stumble out of the gate.
Isn't that always how it works?
All right, so as I was stating, you're rolling the dice, rolling Ricky tonight. Let's start off with a pitcher that, I got to tell you, is not going to be a highly owned pitcher tonight, and I want you to explain to the viewers why you like a guy who in his last four starts has given up four runs or more, a home run in each game, his last four starts, hasn't won a baseball game since June 20th, and has a career 7.03 earned run average against the team he's playing tonight. And I am speaking of Matt Moore.
Yeah, this is not a night for the faint of heart. Let's put it that way. I mean, the chalk pitchers all have downside to me. So I'm going to roll with Matt Moore here, and I'll give you the reasoning. Let's walk through it. This Athletics lineup legitimately features one hitter who is above average against lefties. That would be Ryan Healy. We know when Matt Moore struggles, he could struggle with his control, and Healy does not walk at all. So other than that, Marcus Semien is literally the only one above average against lefties, and it's by one percentage point against lefties, a 321 WOBA. Otherwise, it's basically a team in the high to mid 200s, which is awful. You add in the fact that we've got AT&T Park, which in my opinion is above and beyond the best pitcher's park in the league, and it's for sure the most difficult park to hit one out of. And, I mean, the strength of this offense is guys like Chris Davis who have power, Marcus Semien who has power, and you're really not going to hit it out here. And also, Matt Moore has been a reverse splits guy, meaning he's been worse against lefties. And really the only lefty here is Yonder Alonso that you have to worry about, and he's got like a 290 WOBA. So there's not a lot going here for this Athletics team that ranks in the bottom 10 of WOBA, runs created, isolated power, average, on base, and slug. I mean, they've also struck out at a 25% rate against lefties. So if there ever were going to be an outlier strikeout performance from Moore, this would be it. It's the right ballpark. It's the right matchup. And it's against a team that's going to have to lose one of, you know, without the designated hitter, Healy, Chapman, or Alonso. I think you got to like Matt Moore. I'm all in on him on a night where I think, you know, there'll be a lot of people paying up for Keuchel. I just like the savings here, and I think he has upside, even though I wouldn't claim that he's a good pitcher.
Love the contrarian angle that you're bringing to the table tonight. Let's talk about the Dodgers in Atlanta and Julio Teheran. It's unbelievable this guy splits at home as opposed to the road. I mean, you go into a new stadium, and it kind of sucks that your best pitcher can't get anybody out in the new stadium. And it's that bad. 1-7 with a 7.05 earned run average in this park. He's been all over the place this year. He's given up six or more runs six times in 21 starts, but he's also given up two runs or less 11 times. So he's been very, very good on the road. He hasn't been good in this ballpark at all. You're looking at the Dodgers' left-handed bat tonight, which would lead me to Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, those are where I'm starting, no question. I mean, this is undoubtedly the worst full season of Teheran's career. I mean, a 505 Sierra, that's not good. 575 FIP, 516 XFIP. These numbers just look ugly, and there's no signs of turning it around. I mean, a 563 FIP this month. So the strikeouts were up in the month of July for Teheran, which is encouraging, but so was the hard hit rate. So if you even had a glimmer of hope, he was still getting crushed when it comes down to it. I mean, you look at Corey Seager. There's no Dodger that hits the ball harder against right-handed pitching this year. He's above, almost at 50%, a 201 ISO. He's just an awesome hitter overall, and he plays a hard-to-fill shortstop position. So to me, he's the no-brainer. But also Cody Bellinger. I mean, you look at the guys who over the last, you know, season have hit, at least on this slate, have a greater average distance on their batted balls. It's Joey Gallo, Freeman, Carpenter, and then Cody Bellinger. And he's hit the ball hard 43% of the time over the last 2 weeks. So even though Teheran has been missing bats more, we know if Bellinger accidentally runs into one, he can hit one out. He's hit 20 homers off righties. This is a hitter-friendly park. I think you got to lock those two guys in.
There's been so much talk about Cody Bellinger and Aaron Judge and all these young phenoms in the game. And the Boston Red Sox looks like they have a new one right now. This kid's just come out of nowhere right now. And how about this? You know, it's pretty rare you join Babe Ruth and Ted Williams to become the fourth Red Sox player to have four hits before turning the age of 21. He's also got the third player in Red Sox history to have 10 hits or more in his first six games. And Rafael Devers here, a young Dominican kid, lighting it up right now.
Yeah, sounds like they better get to work on his Hall of Fame plaque. But seriously.
You got the new Poppy in the house. It's a new Poppy.
He looks like it so far. I mean, it's a 28 at-bat sample size, but slashing 429, 500, 714. And the knock on him was always his glove. It was never his bat. I mean, even after going 0 for 4 in his opener, which, by the way, still 6 fantasy points on DraftKings, he is on a 6-game hitting streak now. Every game during that streak, at least 7 fantasy points since the opener. So he has been really productive every single time. He's still only $3,400 on DraftKings, so really, really cheap. And you look at the opposing starter, I mean, Bauer, a 322 WOBA against righties, but lefties, a 356 WOBA. So that's where he struggled, no doubt. And even though he's missed lefty bats, when they've, you know, made contact, a 22.6% line drive rate, a 34.7% hard hit rate, and Devers has not struck out so far. He's held his own. A 6.8% swinging strike rate, which is really good, and an 18% K rate. So if Bauer isn't going to be able to miss his bat, I expect him to extend that hitting streak.
All right, we've got less than a minute right now. Another contrarian play. We know Arenado's been killing it. You got Flexen on the hill tonight. He only lasted 3 innings the other night. Now he's at Petco. It could be a little bit worse for him right now going into Denver. You're rolling the dice with Mark Reynolds. About 30 seconds, Ricky. You like Mark Reynolds tonight?
Yeah, Flexen to me just doesn't look like a major league pitcher. I mean, his cutter literally ranked as one of the worst pitches I've ever seen in a single start his first time. 3 of his 4 pitches rated as below average. He had no idea where the ball was going. So a rocky stack. I don't think it'll be contrarian, but both lefties and righties against the guy who I think belongs in double A. I'm pretty much all in on all the main pieces here. Arenado, Reynolds, and Blackman.
You know, for betting purposes, the Rockies are one of my plays of the day today. They're only minus 45 cent favorites, minus 145. I don't really.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't get that. I agree with the Rockies stack there. And Reynolds is going to be cheap as well and lowly owned. Ricky, you're the best. It's always a pleasure, my man.
Thanks for having me.
There's Ricky Sanders with his vice president of operations of Roto Curve. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Time for our plays of the day. The Kansas City Royals have been red hot, but we've given you the Royals two consecutive nights in a row here against Baltimore, and they keep on losing. We'll take them one last time here. Plus 115. You know who's not losing a lot recently? The Chicago Cubs. They're 14-3 since the All-Star break. Absolutely dominant. Cubs are killing it right now. We'll lay the 65 cents. The Mariners, these guys are streaky, man. They'll win four in a row, they'll win five in a row, then they'll lose four in a row or five in a row. Well, they've won four in a row right now. Mariners are hanging around. They're about to catch the Royals, actually, in this wild card chase. Give me the Rockies. Flex and blows. Minus 145. Made a winners be yours.